I'm going to circulate a petition against cloudiness. Okay. I'm going to mount a political campaign against cloudy, nasty, stinky, funky weather.
Yeah, but then there'll be an opposition that'll yeah, come right after you. They'll say, you know, that's socialist or something.
I was trying to remember who said this, and I'm going to attribute it to Ed Koch, but I don't think it was. I remember the saying was that when the Messiah comes, somebody will greet him with an order to show cause.
Yep. Well, I mean, yeah, the rain and the cloudiness has been difficult here, but don't forget, this was the big weekend of Mountain Jam. And,
yeah, that's right.
I'd completely forgotten about that. Now, this morning I was driving over from Catskill over here, and there were all these brightly colored vans and cars everywhere. And I was thinking, and then it hit me, oh, yes, Mountain Jam.
Well, Wifey Poo and I went all the way up to Never Never Land. I forgot where it was she took me. To gaze around, and we found out about Mountain Jam because we got stuck in the middle of it. We decided to take the public roads back and drove right into the middle of it, and I was wishing that there was no Mountain Jam.
Uh-huh. Well, we, you know, the Wifey Poo and I, our family made it away. We just drove 4 hours to the north this weekend and went to Montreal.
Oh, wow.
And it was actually clear. It was a beautiful day yesterday afternoon up there. You could see the clouds coming back in, and then we drove through some, you know, horrendous rain last night. But what a fabulous city that is. Although I had forgotten that they're in the midst of a very major protest right now.
Yeah, what is going on up there?
They're calling it the casseroles. And we didn't, you know, we got into town where we were staying. They were doing their big bike rally, and they do this huge bike rally. It's like 30,000 bikes. On Friday night, they all went out riding at night with lights on and then came to this fairground where everything was for free, and they're handing out free milks to everybody. It was just very joyous. And then yesterday was the big race, and it was 40,000 riders all over the city. Everything was shut down. It's very hard to get anywhere. But on Friday night, we first started hearing and seeing these people beating on pans here and there. And then it turns out that at 8 p.m., everybody starts parading, beating on pans all over the entire city. It's quite it's raucous and cacophonous. And it all came out of a student protest over rising costs. And this is, you know, as with everywhere, government's trying to instill austerity measures based on a number of very loud complainers who are saying you've got to get your debt in order and cut your budgets, et cetera.
Right.
And so the new prime minister or premier of Quebec started, instituting all these means of cutting costs at state schools and raising the tuitions. And students started protesting. The prime minister then proposed a new law that would cut the rights to public assembly. And everybody just went up in arms and started doing these banging on pan protests. And it turns out it's got a long history that goes back in general into the 1600s in France and throughout Europe. And that's how the French Revolution started, with people beating on pans and making a raucous noise in the streets. And in Quebec, it's been a major thing for years, for centuries, actually. In its day, whenever somebody would remarry, they'd often be greeted by a casserole, where these, you know, the townsfolk would protest by banging on pots and pans outside of the church and outside of the unlucky couple's home. And then it built up from there into a political thing, where whenever a politician was unpopular, people would gather beating on pots and pans outside their home until they were forced to retire or resign their position. So it's got a long history. It was fascinating watching that. Of course, we went up for, there's a Circus School of Canada up there. That's just
right. It's very popular.
And we went to their graduation performances. And, you know, I've never been to a circus performance that brought me to tears before.
Oh, and wow.
This one did. It was just touching and beautiful. And there was, you know, no animals or anything. There was a pole. At the end, there was this complicated pole dance with a couple going up and down and falling all over this pole that went up about 40 feet into the air. And then it went from that into this gymnast duet, and then 40 students all doing this choreographed gymnast act that was just stunning. So we did that and you know, some other fun things. But back here, you know, the big thing was Mountain Jam up in Hunter at Hunter Mountain, and we haven't heard anything. Usually what happens is that starting today, we start to get the reports of how many arrests there were and what, you know, who got popped for, you know, what sort of drugs were available.
It did look crazy, I will tell you.
And yeah, especially when you combine mud and jam music, it's a potent mix. And it's you know, fortunately, most of the busts aren't that serious, but they can have quite a few repercussions on these young people's lives.
There was, what was the festival that took place over here in last year in Ghent? There was some pushback from that one also.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name of that one. There are other ones that take place in the Catskills. There's a truck festival. There used to be Altamara's parties. You know, and what's happened is that a lot of these have, you don't have the massive things like, you know, what Michael Lang would put together in 1969 down in Woodstock, and then in the 94 and 99 Woodstock reunion concerts where you get, you know, 500,000 people. It's worked its way down into, I think Mountain Jam's like 30 or 40,000 people. It's one of the larger of the things, but most of them at this point are 1,000 or under, and they're much more manageable sorts of affairs, although, you know, it all depends on how the neighbors react.
I don't know about that. It certainly kept Mr. and Mrs. Grant in the traffic for a long time.
Okay. Just speaking of those, you know, neighbors and you know, raucous festivals, you know, this was talked about quite a bit last week, but just wanted to send out a note in terms of the Glencadia dog camp issue finally kind of coming to a head.
And
on May 21st, Judge Patrick McGrath ruled in favor of the Glencadia dog camp on an Article 78 case, and that was the first of, I believe, five other cases that are coming up, including some you know, federal civil rights cases about how the town was treating this dog camp. And it's starting to look like, you know, Will Flom, who, you know, first started bringing his case here to WGXC when we were just starting off. Nobody else would listen to the case.
And we have been covering that story since day one, since February of last year.
Yep. And you know, it's been going on before that. And it's, you know, it led to a change in the Stuyvesant town board structure over time. Valerie Bertram, who had been the longstanding supervisor there, did not run for re-election. It's leading to some changes on the county ethics panel. And where I think it's going to really have an effect in the long run will be just in the way the county deals with its second home or newcomer population, because I think a lot of people felt that, you know, especially Flom, that was really what was underlying it. You know, the town at several points would bring in firemen and other people just to kind of point at Flom and say, look, he doesn't belong. This is not, this isn't us. And well, it is us. You know, we are welcoming communities, whether we like it or not.
I'm sure, because he has had a number of interviews with our own Tom Rowe,
yes,
from WGX Newsroom. And so I'm sure that he was probably going to be following up. And I would be interested in, I would love to put that whole story together, because that's a huge story.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge story. And it's one of those bellwether stories that you know, catches our larger community at a point of change. And, you know, something like that will probably come up, you know, in Greene County at some point in the next year or two as well. Although The difference between Colombian green, I'm learning now after 25 or so years up here, is that Colombia is actually much more cohesive in a way. Everything looking towards Hudson as a the major city, whereas green is really split between its mountaintop and its riverside towns, and then there are other splits beyond that between the northern part of the county and the southern part of the county. So it's a much more bifurcated community over there, which means that it's harder to build consensus or find that single news story that exemplifies what's going on.
Right.
Other things around here, the soggy seem, you know, that's the word in the news today. Especially in the Daily Mail, had two stories with soggy in their headlines. There was soggy end to AgFest. And that was about the New Baltimore Antique Machinery and Agricultural Festival that took place yesterday on Sunday. Organizers canceled most of the events that had been scheduled, although 100 still attended. And it was also the kickoff for the farmers market for New Baltimore for the season, which is sort of the kickoff for farmers markets throughout a lot of the area, although Hudson's been running for a while.
You are the perfect person to ask, because last Wednesday, Karen and I were coaxing and introducing all of the farmers market to the audience, and I remembered that there had been some hubbub in
Catskill,
and I asked Karen if he knew about it, and I said, you know what, we're going to ask Paul.
Okay, yeah, that's a farmers market, that the peripatetic farmers market that, you know, for years was down in that great building down by the waterfront where we did the music festival mm-hmm. that you hosted last July 4th. It was down there for years, and the problem is that the parking was a little sketchy, and it never drew that many farmers. They would have one person. They didn't want any competition amongst people, so it was always sort of slim pickings, and it just kind of got the same people over and over again. So they moved it up to Main Street in Catskill, and a few businesses, in particular a barber along there, complained because he had, you know, lost a couple clients who liked to come in on Saturday mornings because they couldn't park right in front of the place because of the farmers market. So this created a huge hubbub that lasted over a year, until last year it moved into this little parking lot on the side of the county legislative building just off of Main Street, kind of around the corner from where it was. But it was just, it looked like it had been asked to stand in the corner. Farmers market looked like it was in timeout. But now, you know, this summer it's moving yet again down to the parking lot behind what used to be Candyman, which is right before the bridge, the Uncle Sam Bridge, which is Route 385 Bridge Street. It comes over from what they call Coney Island, the ice cream place. Mm-hmm. And there's a parking lot to one side of that, and that's where it's going to be. It'll be interesting to see if people can find it. It's not a bad spot. It's nice being down by the creek and by the water, and you've got some nice historic buildings around. But how many times can you move a thing like this?
All right, and it's off the beaten path.
So and it's off the beaten path. Yeah, the really successful farmers markets that I've seen up here, Kingston has a fabulous one on Saturdays. They close off the entirety of their with Wall Street, which is the it's got these canopies along the street. It's mm-hmm. kind of a nice place. There's places to sit. And they turn that into it just becomes like a big party. It's a lot of fun. Saugerties is actually pretty good as well, and that's kind of in a parking lot across from the school, and it's a nice setup. If you move it this many times, it'll be interesting to see how it lasts at this point.
Well, because it is an impulse buy, and you've got to have it where people can see it. Ours here in Hudson is not too bad because it's right in your face. But it's really got to be where you can see it. It can't be where the person who's going out to go to the barbershop doesn't see it, so doesn't even think about going over it.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But all of that kicks in across the river in not this coming weekend, but the weekend after this. The other thing that's happening this week And the following weekend is that we're coming into the last 2 weeks of Little League up here. So there's going to be a lot of games. If you've not gotten out to a Little League game this season, go out. It really is fun. It doesn't matter who's winning or losing. Those kids are just having a blast out there.
And it's so important. We have a Justin G now. I don't know if you've heard our sports report. We have a young man who comes in and he does the local sports. And he had been predicting about Chatham winning. Our softball team girls won a championship. Our kids are doing very well, and they need the support of the community.
Yep, and that's a great way of supporting community. Other things that are going on around here is, we have a lot of, even though we really don't want to talk about the fall political elections yet, that they just keep, the candidates keep pushing themselves into the news with announcements and events. And you've got, candidates lining up for primaries that are occurring, I think it's next week.
That is correct.
And, for the state assembly, for the race against U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and then just for local races. And in Greene County, for example, in Catskill, four nominee, the local Republican Party came up with four nominees for four openings on the legislature. Local Democrats, from what I can tell, are probably going to wait until the end of the summer to come up with their people. It just takes a while to find candidates when they're not incumbents all the time. The big thing, the only news item in the GOP race for the legislature in Catskill is that Majority Leader Keith Valentine decided not to run again, and it's actually not that surprising given that, it was a couple years ago, he ran into a lot of difficulties where he was one of the first people arrested under a new law that he helped push through the legislature about adults being culpable for for kids drinking in their homes. And his they had a graduation party for one of Valentine's kids. Supposedly, some kids were imbibing at the party, and he got arrested. He and his wife, their mugshots ended up on the front of the local paper. And eventually, he was exonerated through the courts, which itself brought up a lot of questions, of influence and conflict of interest, et cetera. But yeah, I think the whole thing just kind of gave Keith, who's a good guy, he comes out of working with helping start the Heart of Catskills Chamber of Commerce that came up with the all the cats idea and a lot of different things that have helped revive Main Street and Catskill. All of this, you can just see it just left a distaste for politics.
Well, yeah, and this is the year that we also have Democratic nomination for the congressional run, right?
Yep, yeah, or next week. Yeah, it's coming down to Julian Schreibman
and Joel
Tyner.
Right.
And it's Schreibman's been playing the inside track for a long time. Tyner comes, has quite a pedigree from the county legislature, and he's been involved. It's east side of the river versus west side of the river, sort of. It'll be an interesting one. It's very
he
hard
certainly
to tell
has been
right
working
now.
Hard.
Yeah, they both have been. They both have been, and it'll be interesting to see how many people come out to vote in that, given that the district seems to have been reconfigured, weighted towards Democrats, but it's hard to say because Gibson, for having stumbled a little bit coming out of the starting blocks after about a year ago, he made the big mistake of mentioning reviving nuclear power in the Hudson Valley at a very bad time. But he was very adept at pulling back from that quickly, and he's everywhere all the time. So it'll be...
I like him. Mm-hmm. He reminds me of the he's all Marine.
Yeah.
And he kind of reminds me of the young officers that I reported to, 40 years ago. He's a very nice man. I've interviewed him once or twice.
Yeah, he seems earnest and hardworking and willing to kind of buck his own party at certain times.
Yeah.
You know, some things that, you know, on the front for this week, later today, the villages of Valencia and Kinderhook are meeting at 6 p.m. this evening. They're discussing a proposed intermunicipal agreement regarding sewage system connections. And that's anytime there's a shared service idea like that, you know, I'm behind it. It just, you know, we tend to we love our little boundaries around each other. and sometimes we push those boundaries a little bit too far, especially when it comes to municipalities, villages versus towns, towns versus each other, and then counties versus counties. It gets silly. We're all working towards the same things. We should actually work towards them somehow.
Well, you got to believe that you're going to see more of these as these budgets get slimmer and as these towns start looking for new ways to doing things.
That's the general idea behind it. And yet, at a certain point, you run into this, you know, this idea of home rule that bucks everything. And that idea of home rule is tied up so deeply into our sense of being American, right down into our, you know, our states' rights. And mm-hmm. you know, we love to set ourselves up against somebody else instead of instead of finding the point of communication and commonality.
Right.
You know, we work the opposite, and we've seen this over the years. You know, the only thing that seems to really be working well between, you know, Columbia and Green is the college, and even there's a lot of disgruntlement because the college is over here instead of over there.
And, you know, it can't be everywhere. As a matter of fact, it's beautiful. I like it over there.
Yep, going to be. You know, there was a piece in the Register Star about how the weighted vote in the Board of Supervisors for Columbia County is going to come up for another look sometime soon. Columbia County being one of the only counties in New York that's still with the Board of Supervisors instead of a separately elected legislature. And what's going to push a lot of the changes there is that the city of Hudson's population dropped 15% between the year 2000 and 2010.
Oh, wow.
And that's largely because of a change in the demographic in the community. It's not like the houses have gone abandoned. It's just you've got a lot of childless couples and second homes and the like in, you know, these large houses that make up the, you know, a large portion of what Hudson is. The fascinating story last week was, again, here in Hudson, where there was a police committee meeting in the city of Hudson. And, you know, things like that are usually like watching paint dry or grass grow. But this one saw a big fight underway where, you know, the police commissioner, Gary Graziano, started taking down Third Ward Alderman John Friedman for what he was writing on his blog. And this is, you know, here we are in the age of blogs, and a lot of, you know, what we do each week is, in addition to checking what's going on in the news, checking with people who are at meetings, you know, we read blogs. And particularly in Hudson and Columbia County, there's a lot of blog action right now. And it turns out that Alderman Friedman, you know, had a blog in which he was at one point went after a number of police for being, I think the word he coined was steroidal. involving some arrest or some altercation with his wife. And Graziano called him out at the meeting, and it went back and forth on whether that was appropriate to call somebody out for what they're writing on a private basis. And, you know, the final kind of word from it all, the new mayor, Bill Hallenbeck, sort of condemned the alderman's statements, but, you know, said it may not be the right place for having all of this. And the idea in the end was that it was all too much like theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always the case. Similar in terms of, you know, speaking of blogs, the big thing, You know, the big blog over in Greene County, or in Catskill in particular, is Seeing Green by Dick May, who's a true media veteran, taught for years, has been in the thick of a number of daily newsrooms, et cetera. And in his last blog from last week, he was going on about, there's a very complicated case. It's been unfolding for a few weeks, actually for a few years over there, involving a priest, Jeremiah Noonan, and allegations of sexual abuse that come up, they go away, they come up, they go away. And that's, there have been a number of those cases that have come up over in Greene County and in Columbia County in recent years. And it all kind of tracks back to the Albany Diocese, which, they've shed a lot of churches in recent years, and more has come under the New York Diocese, which is now, Archbishop Timothy Dolan. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all continues to play out. If you have all the allegations in the court cases now, you're going to get, the money matters are going to come in flowing in a few years. The last thing kind of on my radar around here, last few things, there's a big story that's been developing over in the Catskills, where one of our big ski areas, we've got in Greene County, Hunter and Windham, but the big private area is Bel Air Mountain, which for years, since it was initiated over 50 years ago, was under the purview of the State Department of Environmental Conservation. This past year, there was a lot of back and forth on whether it should be transferred to the Olympic Regional Development Agency, ORDA, which is, they run Gore Mountain and Whiteface up in the Adirondacks, as well as the whole Lake Placid Olympic Center, which has ski jumping and bobsled runs and other things. And, at first the state assembly voted against it, then the state senate passed it through, and then it ended up somehow in the budget so that it looks like a transfer from the DEC to ORDA is going to take place. Well, the wrinkle that came up in that story last week or 2 weeks ago was that the longstanding superintendent at Bel Air, Tony Lanza, who he's on the radio all the time. He's like the perfect pitchman. He's every year they would do a fundraiser up there called the Snowball, and Tony would do this version of Mustang Sally. And all the, these women skiers in their 50s and 60s would flop themselves at him and stuff. It was really quite a scene.
And, yes, I can imagine.
Yeah, but all throughout that time, there were allegations that he, he was playing loose with favors in terms of use of the local the Bel Air government vehicles and houses, and then he was buying into houses with employees, and then there was a a relationship with that was difficult, and all of this came up about 5 years ago in an investigation that found him having a huge conflict of interest in regards to a lot of his doings. There were some bad financial things that involved a company in Greene County that kind of got caught in the whole deal. All of it was brushed under the rug by the DEC. And then 2 weeks ago, Lanza was just summarily fired, just gone. And nobody's talking about exactly why or what happened there. The place is without a head right now. Now it's starting to come out that he was giving away huge swaths of tickets, and he was giving away tickets to policemen all around the area, which, on the surface doesn't look that bad unless you look at it from a marketing angle. If you're competing from Hunter or Windham,
right, then it looks bad.
Then it looks bad. And right. This is the use of state money for deals. And so, look, there's a really big thing starting to bubble up out of that. And that does affect us in this area, because everybody's competing for a shrinking amount of skiing dollars. The other thing which comes out of the blogosphere is kind of interesting is that Hannaford Supermarket, which just opened in Livingston, and they're planning to open up in Cairo in the next few years. You know, they're really doing a big push. They've had a whole, they're saying that they're just going to, from now on, just sell fish that is sustainably harvested. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the word sustainable in recent years and about, you know, especially about fish and overfishing. And this is trying to assure that, you know, a lot of species don't get overfished. The, you know, in my own publications, you know, I've got writers requesting to do something on this. I'm saying, let's hold off a little bit. I'm just kind of worried that it may be the use of the term sustainable just for itself. A lot of these terms are not defined very well yet, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Well, I got to tell you something. As a recent transplant from Brooklyn, the only thing that I miss is fresh fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not here.
See, we get, you know, it seems we get fairly good fresh fish from the, you know, at our local supermarket, you know, but then you realize a lot of it's coming in frozen. Yeah. It's not
believe
quite
me.
The same thing.
In Brooklyn and Manhattan, you get fish that's still breathing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fresh.
Yeah. Well, they were getting really fresh fish at the Chinese restaurant in West Cooksack.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and so that's a story that we're still going to watch. It just as a reminder, this was a Chinese restaurant that got popped by the DEC, the State Department of Environmental Conservation, for saying striped bass and crappies out of the Hudson and serving them up, which
it was fresh.
Is fresh, and it seems about as sustainable as you can get, but it was the Hudson, and they have all sorts of regulations out there about how or suggestions on how many of those fish you should be eating per month or per year. And you know, when you serve up that much of it, it's a question. So it turned out it was a federal crime, and watch that one to have legs too.
Yeah.
The big thing this coming weekend, it's Flag Day, and that's a big, wonderful parade here in Hudson. And lineup on Saturday, June 9th, is going to be at 12:30 p.m. at Columbia and Green Streets, and the parade steps off at 2 p.m. So look for a great time there. Did you find anything on the Wikipedia birthdays? The things I found,
not very into it. Well, I'll tell you, the birthdays that we had today were they weren't fun birthdays. That was my problem today. Russell Brand today, Michelle Phillips. Remember from? I think she's the only one left of the mamas and the papas.
Oh yeah, I actually call her. I put something up on that. She's sort of like the hippie chick of all time.
Yeah,
to use. I hope that's not a degrading term, but
she's 68 years old today.
Oh boy.
And my favorite character when I was a kid from Gunsmoke was not the star of Gunsmoke. What's his name? Or the lady who worked in the bar, but it was Chester.
Yes, yes.
Marsha Dillon. Dennis Weaver. He passed away, but he was born today on the 4th of in 1924.
Aha. Uh-huh. So wasn't he also McCloud?
He was McCloud. That's correct. But he was better as Well, he was pretty cool as
well. McCloud just had those great openings of him riding a horse around Manhattan, which is great. You know, this past weekend was the anniversary. You know, this one caught me by surprise. It was the anniversary of the introduction of CPR, which only happened in, I think it was like 1974.
Wow.
Which, you know, I mean, the Heimlich. No, not CPR.
Oh, the Heimlich,
maneuver, which you would have thought somebody would have come up with that earlier than that, but, you know, maybe they did accidentally. You know, also, this weekend and today is the anniversary of the kind of when the Tiananmen Square protests came to
that is correct.
An
that
end
is correct.
In Beijing, which was a kind of major event. Trying to see if there's any other birthdays out there. It's not a whole lot.
No, not a June 4th. I was stunned that June 4th is just not full of anything. I was looking for any kind of interesting thing that happened on June. Oh, we cannot let it go that Dr. Ruth was born today.
Oh.
Today is Dr. Ruth's birthday. Dr. Ruth, I don't know what she's up to, but whatever it is.
Okay, we should all talk. We should all talk in heavy accents about our sex lives today. So
whatever it is, and she's 84 years today.
And it being June 4th and there not being a lot there, let's all work really hard to make this a memorable day. A very Oh, it's Angelina Jolie's birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Angelina Jolie's birthday. Okay. What is she, compared to Dr. Ruth? What, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Come on.
Anyway, until next week.
All right, Paul, well, thank you very much. Bringing us up to date here on the news and the blues. Don't forget that this same information is available to you on our archives. It's also available on my Facebook page, and it's available all over the place, because you're going to be riding along someday, and one day this week, and you're going to say, what did Paul say? Well, that's where you can find it. This is WGXE 90.7 FM, streaming live on WGXE.org. Philip is on your radio with Motown Sound.